You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Local, state, national, man, we cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, yes, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, listen, I'm pleased to go to the phones right now and bring on somebody that I've had the pleasure of knowing for a number of years. We've worked together in politics. He has done an amazing job. Not just working with me in my own campaigns and things, but with others as well. And then also went to work in Montgomery, sort of herding the cats for the Senate Majority Leader in the state Senate. And now works with Signal Polling and Analytics. That's my friend John Rogers. He's a pollster and strategist, now taking the national view of politics with polling. I need his perspective. So, hey, John Rogers, how you doing today, man?
Phil, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show again. Great to be with you.
Thank you, man. Well, listen, the focus of my time today is, will the GOP take the Senate? And I know that, I mean, like when I reviewed, I've got a piece here that I pulled off of 270 to win. And what's really neat, though, is when I see a number of these polls they cite are y'all's, Signal, C-Y-G-N-A-L, by the way, folks. Signal polling is now nationally renowned, started right here in Alabama. But tell me, John, give me the first, the one over the world. Are we going to take the Senate back or not?
You know, I think that the we're in a good position to be very competitive and have a chance of taking the Senate back. I do think that the environment has improved a little bit for Democrats and President Biden. It's gone from catastrophic to bad. But, you know, the Senate it's on a knife's edge, right? And so it's 50-50 right now. And generally, when you look at a lot of the polling that's out there, it seems like there's 4 to 5 Senate seats that are really going to determine who has the majority. I think that we will retake the House of Representatives. I feel pretty confident in that. And then the Senate's really going to come down to a handful of seats in states like Georgia and Arizona. But a lot of that is because, you know, part of it is inflation is still really bad, but gas prices have come down a little bit. I was looking at earlier, the average price for gasoline was $5 a gallon in June, and now it's at $3.90. And if you drive an F-150 like me, that's still pretty cold comfort, but it is improving a little bit, and so that's helped Biden at the margin.
All right. Well, so, I mean, it's been quite a shift in a few races. Like, for instance, I noticed that you guys were one of the ones that polled the Pennsylvania race between Democrat Fetterman and Republican Dr. Oz. Back in June, you guys apparently had it at 48-44 Fetterman's way. Public Opinion Strategies just came out like 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and they've got it 51-33. That's a pretty significant change.
Yeah, I think that race in Pennsylvania. So what's part of what's going on in a couple of states is that, you know, it's still true, even in a national political environment that's very polarized, that the quality of the candidate and the quality of the campaign still matter to voters, right? And so right after he won the nomination, Dr. Oz, you know, just it didn't seem like he hit the campaign trail really hard necessarily. And, you know, Fetterman was pounding the pavement pretty hard. And, of course, you also have the Oz has spent a lot of his life outside of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, that kind of thing. So that's a seat that maybe I think has shifted from being something that should be very winnable for Republicans to being now I think Fetterman definitely has an edge. There's also the kind of complicating factor in Pennsylvania that the Republican nominee for governor, somebody he's somebody that has a lot of baggage, I think, associated with him, and he's having his own challenges in the governor's race, and so Pennsylvania is sort of a unique case in a lot of ways.
Well, all right, then talk to me about closer to home here, Georgia. I mean, one of the races that's got a lot of attention is Herschel Walker. Raphael Warnock, to me, is like a cartoon when you look at him, but he resonates with Democrats. He's raised a ton of money, something like $15 million Raphael Warnock has raised. Herschel Walker, though, has all of the positive name ID that you could possibly want in a state like Georgia, and he's also got Trump's endorsement. And yet polling indicates that that's a close race. What are your thoughts?
But Georgia's very interesting to look at. So the first thing to note is that Brian Kemp is very popular in Georgia, and Brian Kemp will be reelected as governor of the state of Georgia. And a lot of, you know, Stacey Abrams, I think she still hasn't conceded her 2018 loss to Brian Kemp. And she's raised a lot of money. Warnock has raised a lot of money, but Kemp is going to get reelected, and he's going to win by, you know, probably over 3 points, somewhere in the 4 to 7 point range, if I had to guess. So Kemp has got Republicans very energized, and that's very helpful to Herschel Walker. And I think what a lot of independent voters in Georgia are looking for, especially in the suburbs of Atlanta, is they're not in love with Raphael Warnock. They know he's a very hard left liberal, and they want to see that Walker just kind of has some basic competency around some of the questions of the campaign, right? And I think that Walker's a first-time candidate, right? And so I think that he's starting to exhibit more and more of that. His campaign has gotten more and more disciplined as we've headed into the fall. And so Warnock is going to have a tough time holding onto that seat. I think that that's going to be I think that that seat will probably determine who has the majority as we go into 2023. Of course, remember, we also might be headed to a scenario where you have a runoff again. And so this is what happened at the end of 2020. And so if neither Warnock nor Herschel Walker gets 50%, we're going to have a runoff.
Wow. So do we have any independents running in that race? Are there vote stealers on the ballot that could I say vote stealers? Are there the kind that like sapsuckers that take the vote away?
Yeah, there's a third party candidate, a libertarian candidate, and so that will be, you know, something that could create a little bit of, there could be some votes that go to that candidate that would normally have gone to Walker. So it will have an effect. But the basic fact still, though, is that the leader of the party in Joe Biden is still very unpopular. We just concluded a national poll that will be coming out tomorrow, of around 6,000 voters from all across the country, and President Biden has a negative net image of -8. Right.
Wow. So
53% of the country hold an unfavorable view of him, and only 45% hold a favorable view of him. So that's going to have a lot of effect. You know, the media likes to talk about former President Trump quite a bit, but Biden is unpopular, and his numbers are not going to be rising anytime soon.
Well, in that top of the ticket does mean something. But speaking of top of the ticket, in your opinion, how much does a Trump endorsement still mean right now?
It meant a lot in the primary, especially it meant a lot in the primary in races where it was an open seat, right? And so in places like Ohio, where Rob Portman was the incumbent Republican senator, he was retiring, and J.D. Vance was able to nab the Trump endorsement right at the end, and that vaulted Vance from, being behind a little bit in the pack to finishing first. And so it definitely mattered a lot in the primary. In the general election, what matters most from that perspective is whether or not the Trump camp will really spend a lot of money through some of its affiliated groups on some of these candidates. So far, they really haven't shown a lot of interest in doing that. And so, there's an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal today talking about that some of the Republican nominees who have been critical of Mitch McConnell, of Leader McConnell, like Blake Masters in Arizona, they've had to kind of go hat in hand to McConnell in order to get the backing of the leader's camp and try to get some additional resources on the independent expenditure side.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that. So I was focusing some of my angst a little while ago before you came on the air with McConnell being very tepid here of late. I mean, you look at the guy who's the head of the caucus. He's the minority leader right now in the U.S. Senate, and basically the Senate leadership caucus PAC is one of the major sources of external revenue for campaigns, and yet he himself came out and said You know, sort of tempered expectations. So, you know, we went to wait and see, and, you know, quality of candidates, which many people take when he says quality of candidates to mean he doesn't like Trump's people winning because there's not the kind that he wanted to have come to D.C. So your thoughts on McConnell's backing? I mean, how important is that right now?
Mitch McConnell is interested in one thing, and that is a Republican majority in the U.S. Senate. And so even in Ohio, where J.D. Vance is the nominee, and Vance is definitely more on the populist side of the, you know, Republican camp, and Vance has said some things critical of McConnell, the Senate Leadership Fund, which is the main PAC that works with McConnell, they've committed $28 million to Ohio, backing J.D. Vance. And so I think that, you know, McConnell is a historically impressive strategist, one of the most effective majority leaders that I think the U.S. Senate has ever seen. And, you know, really, thanks to him holding off the nomination of Merrick Garland, we have got a really solid conservative majority in the Supreme Court. So I think McConnell is interested in getting everybody across the finish line that he can. And he'll spend whatever resources he has to do to make that happen.
Well, I hope that's true. And you know, because being on the outside looking in, what I hear is someone who is looking for moderates and doesn't want conservatives. I mean, he is in the appearance, in my opinion, and you don't have to comment if you don't feel comfortable with it. But the reality is, I feel like what we got right now is a Senate leader who just wants to make sure the status quo was maintained, but he would prefer that it would be a moderate status quo as opposed to, you know, conservatives who think for themselves. And by making those comments, what he basically did was dissed on the voters who put the conservative Trump-endorsed primary candidates across the finish line.
Yeah, I've got a little bit different take, I think, on that. In that McConnell he's pretty pragmatic, just in the sense that he looks at these polling numbers. He knows kind of that the environment has shifted a little bit. So I think another way of kind of looking at his comments may be to say, you know, try to energize some of the, you know, business community and some of the people who donate money to Republican candidates to say, like, look, you know, there was a lot of, and I remember in the spring, you know, coming out of the 2021 elections in the great results in Virginia with Glenn Youngkin winning, there were a lot of Republicans who were just almost sort of assuming that this was going to be a red wave election year. And so I think McConnell's comments in a way are kind of a splash of cold water to say, you know, look, we've got some races where, you know, like in Pennsylvania, where it's extremely competitive. And if Republicans don't rally around and if Republicans don't really, you know, raise money and really support these campaigns, like, you know, we may not have a Senate majority when the dust is settled in November.
Well, pragmatic view, but that's what you're paid for, man. You being the pollster, you have to look at the numbers. So if you had to give it, I mean, here in the last second of this discussion, if you had to give it a up or down, what do you think? It's Senate Republicans, Senate Democrats come the end of the time at the vote count?
It's going to be really tight either way, Phil. I think it's going to come down to Georgia, and then I think also it'll come down to Arizona. Those would be the two states that I would look at. There's been a lot of discussion about Wisconsin. Ron Johnson is going to hold on in Wisconsin, and I think Republicans will win in Nevada, but it will come down to Arizona and Georgia.
Wow. All right. John Rogers, working with Signal as a pollster and strategist, Signal Polling and Analytics, a national firm with roots right here in Alabama. We appreciate your time today, bud.
Thank you, Phil. Great to be with you.
All right. Take care. All right, Boomer, I ran long because that was a good conversation. And you know, it's interesting to hear. Go ahead and move us to a break, bud. But it's interesting to hear, you know, somebody who I know and love and work with regularly has a slightly different view of McConnell and his comments. Like, maybe it's designed to actually galvanize voters as opposed to diss on voters. I hope that's true. I do hope that's true. But I still think that a leader gets out there and rallies the troops and says he's rallying and not just throws some shade and hopes that encourages people to do something good. Wow. Okay, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More of that. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, making it look cool to be a conservative. So, listen, my friend John was on a moment ago, John Rogers, from Signal Polling and Analytics, good at what he does, excellent. I mean, gosh, one of the best, you know, most organized individuals I've ever worked with, the kind of guy that I said, if I could ever hire him again, I would. The more I think about the comments there about Mitch McConnell, so first of all, if that was his version of leadership to go out there and say, well, you know, we may have a problem with the quality of our candidates. Well, sir, that's not leadership. If he's saying that, like reverse psychology, real leaders don't use reverse psychology to rally the troops. All right. You don't go stand in front. I mean, what if the Braveheart speech had been, you know, y'all better buck up or we're going to lose this fight to the British. I mean, no. Right? What if General Patton, instead of saying, what was General Patton's great, I mean, he had made some great speeches, but one of his speech was, your job is not to give your life for his country. Your job is to make the other poor SOB give his life for his country. What if he had said, you know, we could all die out here unless you do your jobs. That's not leadership. So I got to go ahead and I got to go ahead to stick with my original opinion then. Mitch McConnell, if the idea was that he is merely employing the use of reverse psychology to help rally donors and the base by sort of casting some fear out there, not leadership. But what he needs to do is say, things are looking tough. I need people to really bow up. We're going to get out there. We're going to get this done. But we're going to take every one of you to get us across the finish line. It's going to take every dollar donation. It's going to take every local voter. It's going to take you taking your friends to the polls. It's going to take everything's got to go because we cannot let this continue. No, what do you say?
Well, it appears to what we have is a quality of the candidates issue, and we may not take back the Senate.
That was a pretty good impression, by the way. Boomer's laughing. I think I said, got to grab my goozler here. Anyway, don't ever do that again, Phil. But I just watched myself make the face on the screen, and now I'm thinking, don't ever do that again. But yeah. So there's that story from the LA Times. Pro-Trump wins in blue states, threaten GOP hopes in November. That's what they're thinking. That's the message. The fact that it was pro-Trump candidates winning their primaries, well, it might reduce the chances of, you know, taking things back. And you know what? President Trump never won for mincing words. He came back in his response and story on National Review dated yesterday. Trump calls McConnell a broken-down hack over midterm predictions. Well, there you have it. And, you know, classic case of President Trump saying whatever's on his mind when it's on his mind. But listen, we can't go down that road of just conceding ahead of time because, you know, I don't know, maybe we don't have the right kind of people. That's not leadership, sir. Spend the money, but do the work. Call the troops to action. They'll respond. Stop mealy-mouthing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Boomer and the Birdman coming up next. Y'all stay tuned.